Wow, you guys may be seated. This is such an honor to be here. This is my first time to Scent Church, and I just love the name of your church, Scent Church. Not Stay Church, not a Gather and Be Quiet Church, but Scent Church. I just love the name of that. So I've been, like Pastor Dan mentioned, I've known Pastor Dan and Betsa for several years. I used to live here in Florida, and it's always such an honor just to get around them, because every time I get around Dan, I'm always learning something. He's always reading something, you know, say, hey, have you read this? I've been learning this. Well, and I'm always growing myself every time I get around them. So it's such an honor. I remember a few years back when God put this vision in his heart to start and plant Scent Church. And here you guys are today. You guys are all out of his heart now, walking around, and the vision is in reality now. So give you guys a big hand. I mean, that is just awesome stuff. It's not easy to plant a church, just so you know. It's not easy, and I respect church planters and church leaders because of what they do. I thought about planting a church, and then I started watching my friends do it. I'm like, yeah, I'll probably wait for a few more years. So anyway, it's a really good thing. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. I just want to, before I get started, I want to introduce you to somebody. When I was here in Orlando, I was a single guy. You know, how many here in here are single? All right, one, two, three. Awesome. I love single people. Singles rock, okay? So when I was here in Florida, I was a single guy. I was looking for the one. How many remember when you were looking for the one, okay? And But I moved to Texas, and I met, if you just want to throw that beautiful, hot, gorgeous, sexy, amazing woman right there, I met her, and she is actually in full-time ministry herself. She's a Christian counselor. And she runs a counseling center out in Austin, Texas. I did not meet her in counseling. A lot of people ask that. I did not meet her in counseling. I get that question all the time. Even though I could have, because I have a lot of issues as well. But I married her, and she was actually speaking at a women's conference this weekend, and so she travels and speaks, and so she's just the love of my life, and I love her so much. I just love one day this picture will be with, like, kids, and so I'll be introducing them to one of these days as well. So, but anyway, she's just amazing, and we met at a party. We didn't meet in church. We didn't meet in a small group. We met at a party. Okay, we'll move on from that. So, but that's how we met. So, awesome. All right, turn with me to Proverbs 13:12. This is a verse I've been kind of reading and going over a lot in my life over these last few seasons. Proverbs 13:12. This is the NIV version. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." A lot of people that Liz and I have been working with and we've had the opportunity of ministering to, there's a lot of people that have a lot of sick hearts. I like how the Message Bible translates this verse. It says, "Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break can turn your life around." Everyone say, a sudden good break can turn your life around. I was, we work with a lot of people, and a lot of people have had hurting hearts, and a lot of it's because unrelenting disappointment, unrelenting pain. Unrelenting means it just keeps coming. It just one right after the other, just bam, bam, bam. Not like one disappointment. Not like two disappointments, not like three disappointments, but continuing disappointments. Bam, 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 one right after the other. And we're working with some of these people, and we're just kind of starting like, what? Why do these things happen? You know, why do we go through seasons where we feel like every week and every month is just one discouragement one right after the other? How many here can kind of relate with what I'm talking about? You're just getting pushed. You know, it's like you're getting a Mike Tyson punch in the face every time you get up every day. It's just something's always coming at you. And so we just started like Lord, what's happening? You know, with some of our friends and with some of the people that we've had the opportunity to minister to. And one of the things that we have, you know, we've been praying through and discovering on this journey is that hurting hearts always hold on to something. They always hold on to the past. The past holds you back from your dreams. A lot of people that have always been going through these disappointments in life, I've always found they can't dream anymore. You guys have Disney World out here, and I love Disney. Sometimes we go out to California, go to Disneyland. And when you go to Disney, you step into the happiest place on earth, and then you're like a little kid again, and you just like dream and fantasize about the future and just imagine new things, and just your imagination just goes wild. Just because everything that was outside of Disney, past the gates, past the entrance, you just forgot about. You know, you're kind of walking in like a little kid. If you have kids, they're probably walking you around. And they're just taking you to one ride or one character after another. Why? Because their imagination just got released. They have no disappointment in their life at that early age. They have no pain that they've been wrestling with. They're free to dream, free to imagine, free to visualize vision for what should be and what could be in their life and what they could imagine for. I see this with people when so much disappointment hits them, their dreamer shuts down. Their ability to visualize the future shuts down. And so we've been working with people to try to get their dreamer back. To try to get their vision back. To try to get their mojo back, in other words. Because some people have lost their mojo. They've lost their dreamer because they've been hit, bam. They've been hit, bam, way too many times. And going through this process, I've kind of discovered there are three kinds of pain people walk through. Three kinds of pain people walk through. The first one is the pain I do to myself. How many of you guys can remember that there is some pain that the devil didn't do it to me? Come on. You know, no one else did it to me. It was inflicted pain just because of growth and immaturity. I call this the season of growth. We can all remember back when those seasons were. Just as I'm talking about, you can probably remember back. Yeah, I remember when I was going through that. Probably still going through it today. You know, if you want to be honest, sometimes I call it the seasons of stupid. You know, we just like do things like bam, shoot, you know, just make some mistakes on the way. Just as just being young and immature and stupid, just kind of make poor choices and poor decisions. And many of us go through those seasons. I remember when I lived here in Florida, I went through many seasons of stupid. I think God brought me to Florida to clean out all the season of stupid out of my life. Maybe there's some residue there that Liz has to deal with, and I apologize for that. But I think a lot of that was that for that particular reason. Sometimes God will take you left before you get right. So like God's looking down, it's like, all right, Dave, I'm going to take you way left. I can't drop you in the ocean, so I'll just take you to Florida. And I'll just drop you in Florida so we can deal with your character. We can deal with your attitude towards things. We can start pruning you. We can grow you. We can start growing you to become more like Christ. I remember I've been here all week. I've been like at a conference and been doing different things, meeting with some old friends. I remember driving down some of these streets. And I just remember, you know, just it was like, you know, 6-7 years ago. But I remember, man, I would hit the wheel. I was an idiot. Bam! You know, I would just do that randomly. Some people would probably look at the car and be like, dude, what's his problem? What's his deal? But, you know, just these memories of just growth and just some of, you know, these things that just come back at you when you come back to a town to where God really did a work in your life when you were here. Some of us, we go through pain, but it's pain inflicted on yourself. But God uses it to grow you to become more like Christ. Aren't you glad that he uses that kind of stuff to grow? He doesn't like just leave you there in it. He doesn't say that, hey, you failed in this area or you came short in this area. But no, there's still a plan, there's still a purpose, there's still a call, there's still a gift that he has for you. Aren't you glad that you can remember back to some of those times in your life and you're like, man, I was an idiot. I made some poor decisions. Yes, I probably shouldn't have slept with that person. Yes, I probably shouldn't have looked at that pornography. Yes, I shouldn't have done those drugs. But God did not forget about me. How many are glad that God did not forget about you? You know, because that is so huge. You know, when I remember when I got back to Austin, my pastor, he's very big on the message of grace. He preaches grace, but he preaches it the normal way. And so a lot of guys take it and, you know, it's like, hey, sin, do whatever you want, you know. And so, but he preaches it the normal way. And it wasn't like, it was when I started like really getting to sit with him and say, like, Dave, you know, you went through all this, but you're not over. You're not done. And there's a guy out in Oklahoma, he always likes to say, if you're not dead, you're not done. You know, it's the same thing for everyone us, for all of us in here today. If you're not dead, you're not done. There's still something God has for you to do. I remember I've been driving in the neighborhood these last couple days. I remember there was this light. It was on Reinhardt and Lake Mary Boulevard. And I always make a right on Reinhardt. There's like this light there that is bipolar, I promise you this. This bipolar light would always get me. I would always make a right, and there's this red light, and sometimes it's off, so you can make a right. But sometimes it comes back on, and then if you make a right, then if a cop is there, you get in trouble. I got like about 5 or 6 tickets because of this light. I would make a right, and right when it was off, make a right, came back on. Like, it was like watching me, like if I was there. It was a demon-possessed red light. When I would sit there, it's like, all right, it's off. I'm going to make a turn. It would come on, and then boom, cop got me. Every time, boom, a cop got me. Turn light, boom, a cop got me. I moved to Texas, and I was trying to, you know, take care of my personal business, change my driver's license from Florida to Texas, like, you know, you do every time you move. The person at the DMV told me, yeah, we can't issue you a Texas driver's license. He says, why? Because there's a warrant out for your arrest in Lake Mary, Florida. You guys didn't know you had a fugitive preaching today, did you? There was a warrant out for your arrest. I'm like, are you serious? So there's one ticket that I forgot to pay. So I had to pay it, and now I have a license I can drive now. But we're always trying to go right. And I think that, you know, sometimes we're always trying to get right. We're trying to get the right job. Trying to get the right spouse. We're trying to get the right ministry. We're trying to get the right, you know, career. We're trying to get the right things. And every time you go right before it's time, bam, God gets you. Every time you go right. But God takes you left first to deal with your character, to prune those things out of you, to sit on you for a little bit. And for some of us, for some of these seasons, the season of stupid, we all go through the seasons of stupid a little bit. He takes us left before we can go right. We all know the story of Moses. Moses killed a man. He killed a man. Some of us in here have not killed a man. And if we have, there's still hope. Because Moses killed a man. Moses killed a man, but he had to leave. Sometimes different things that we do in life have different consequences. But grace is still there to carry us through the calling and destiny he has for us. The pain that Moses did, he killed a man, and he left his status, he left his authority within Egypt, he left all that, went out to the wilderness. God likes to talk during the sermon, I like that. He left all that, went out to the wilderness, and then God came back into his life and said, hey, there's something I want you to do. Some of us in here today have probably thought that there were things that I did in my life. I have blown my status in the community. I have blown my sense of ability to do whatever type of dream I once had or dream I once did. You have to pay the consequence. There is a consequence. Just like I had red light parking tickets I had to pay. I had to pay those consequences. But life is not over. If I didn't pay it and I came back to Lake Mary, I would probably go to jail. But different consequences have different things. We all have to pay the consequences, but God is still not done. I remember Liz and I were counseling a young ministry couple. And this guy cheated on his wife. And we just sat there and sat with him and said, hey, listen, here's the thing. This is going to be a process. It's not going to be overnight. We may not be the right persons to sit down with you about this. But I want you to understand this. You're going to have to walk through the consequence of this. The pulpit is probably going to be done for you for a while. and you need to focus on your family and on your marriage. But don't let this define the rest of your life. Don't let it define the rest of your life. Don't let the parking tickets define the rest of your life from getting a new driver's license, so to speak. Don't let these things that you were caught doing, these failures of the past, define the rest of your life. I know guys that have gone to prison because of different things, and they're in prison paying the consequences, living out their sentence, but they're not letting the prison, what's around them, define what God has spoken in them. What does that mean? That means they're reading their Bible, they're sharing God within the prison, they're living, they're trying to get their lives straight, they're trying to do what is never, they're living out their consequences, they're not trying to play a shortcut, they're not trying to play any type of thing like that, but they are not letting the situation define who they are. And see, that's the thing. Sometimes we let these situations of failure, these situations that we have done in our past, define us, but we still have to walk out the consequence, but at the same time, we don't let them define who we are. Zacchaeus. I remember the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Remember singing that in Sunday school? I would sing that a lot in Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a guy that created a lot of pain for himself because he created a lot of pain for a lot of people. He was the IRS. He was the guy in New York off Wall Street that would cheat people and take their money. Okay, he was that guy. That's why everyone hated him. Okay, and so in the story in Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. I'm just going to start reading it here from the passage here. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He was a rich guy. He took a lot of money. Everybody hated him. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not see because of the crowd. So he's probably like my height. I'm kind of short. And so he climbed a tree. We all know the story. He climbs a tree, climbs a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached to the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Now this is a very important part of the story. All the people saw this. All the church people saw this. All the church leaders saw this of the day and said, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." He is gone. He is going to the guest to be a guest in a sinner's home. "I am glad that despite all my failures, all my mistakes, all the seasons of stupid I've walked in my life, that Jesus still will be a guest in my house. And I'm glad that also that with all the different things that maybe you have gone through in your life, Jesus will be a guest in your home." I love this story because this reveals the kind of person who Jesus was. Jesus did not go to the church's green room after he got done preaching that day. He did not go to the church's hangout of club of preachers. He went to the dirtiest, the most hated house of the sinner in their community. And I love the story because if Jesus was here today, what kind of house would he go to? I love Jesus' strategy for ministry because his strategy was basically this. Who is the worst hated guy in town? I want to go spend time with him. That was his strategy. It was very simple. Who is the most hated? Who is the most evil? Who is the most wicked? All right, we're going to their house. And that's how he built his following and impacted the world. So, Sin Church, let's go to find the most hated, the most wicked, the most evil sinner in Sanford, Lake Mary, Florida, and start going to their house and inviting them to church because that's what Jesus would do. He went to the person that inflicted a lot of pain on a lot of people. He himself was inflicted a pain onto himself, and he went to his house. And all the people didn't know why, but he went to go hang out with sinners. Later on the verse, Jesus is sitting, you know, around the table. Zacchaeus is giving all of his money to the poor. We know the rest of the story. And Jesus says to everyone, today, salvation has come to this house. In other words, today, a second chance, a new beginning, a new life, a fresh start is coming to this house. How many people in here need a new beginning, a fresh start, a second chance in your life and in your house? Because if you don't, you're like, hey, I'm already living my second chance. I'm already good. I know with guys like me, we've made so many mistakes. We've gone through seasons of stupid. We've done different things. I am so glad I can stand here today and say that Jesus has come to my house and give me a second hand. Somebody give claps. Let's just stir the energy up in this place. Somebody clap because this is some good news. This is some good news here. A lot of us were just like, you know, a lot of us were Christians and, you know, we were, you know, hanging around church a lot. But hey, some of us still had pornography issues and a lot of us still had, you know, different issues we were struggling with. And hey, Jesus still came to my house and he still gave me a second chance to vision and to dream and to say, hey, this is a fresh start for all of us. The second kind of pain that people walk through is the pain that people do to us. The first kind of pain is what I do to myself. The second kind of pain is what other people do to me. I'm going to be straight with you. Some Christians are mean. Just to be honest. Some preachers are mean too. Pastor Dan's not mean though. He's a good guy. And so, but I just want to clarify that. Some people say, yeah, that's right. and one thing I've noticed over the years is when you start going on the right a little bit and God starts taking you towards the right, your home starts prospering. Your life starts prospering. God's opened a door of finance that, hey, making more money than I used to. Oh, that's great. Oh, you know, God's opening doors of ministry that I could have never done, you know, on my own strength. That's awesome. When you start seeing these right turns that can only be opened through the Holy Spirit, then all the haters come out. Have you noticed that? All the haters come out. It's kind of funny. It's like all these great things, and then bam, like, well, you know, he's... People start gossiping about you. People start like saying all these kind of things to you. And so I just want to tell some of you, God's going to start taking you to the right, and you just need to be prepared. Some people aren't going to like your right. People aren't going to like the next season God has for you. People are not going to like, you know, the next job or the next season of ministry or the next thing. Why? Because your life is about to get better. God always takes you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And for every level, a new faith comes or a new level comes in your life. Someone's not going to like it. And usually, I always hate to say this, but it's so true. I'd be lying if I didn't say it. Most of the time, it's always people that are close to you. It's always close friends. It's always close church. Mainly for me, it's always church people. I never come, you know, a sinner off the street never comes and says, hey, I heard you, you know, you were, you know, preaching at a church over there and blah, 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 blah. I don't really think, you know, that's never happened to me. He's always been a Christian. You know, it's always been somebody within the body. So when you're going through these kinds of things, this is something that as God's been walking Liz and I through, that we have to, that we've always having to like check our heart, check our motives and really say, okay, what is our true identity here? Our true identity and through these situations is not the right. Our true identity is not the nice income. The true identity is not a marriage. The true identity is not ministry. The true identity is not these things. Our true identity has to be centered in Christ because of what Christ did on the cross through the resurrection. Because of those things, we can be free to be ourselves. We can be free to just to walk and go. And so when these words start coming, because we have our identity centered on what Christ did on the cross, then they become like Superman, like words that bounce off of you. Like, hey, you're bam, and then hey, bam. They just don't affect you. And these words, they're always coming at you, and they're always coming at you because people are jealous of what you walk in. Some of you guys know when you were young, you noticed you had a high level of favor of God on your life. You guys have known that since you were a kid. And sometimes in certain environments, you have to be like you're walking on eggshells. Like, this is what God's doing in our lives. And God's just saying, like, be you. He's just like, be you. Be who what God has created you to be. And the way that you get that confidence and the way how that confidence grows in you, the way you can walk in that boldness and security is not because of a relationship. It's not because of other friends or other affiliations or because you go to church every week. It's because your identity is built on Jesus and what he has done on the cross through the power of the resurrection. That is your identity. That is your focus. That is the thing that you are built. That is your foundation. So I can walk. I can do things. I'm free. You know that song, "Free to Be Me." Yeah, we sing that a lot. Free to be me. I'm not trying to be someone else. I'm not trying to walk on eggshells. Am I accepted here? Is it gonna be okay? I'm not trying to push myself on anything. I'm just trying to say, hey, be you. Sometimes people inflict pain because they see the favor of God on your life and they see what you walk in. Even still with all of your seasons of stupid and all your mistakes and all of your stuff, they see that on you and they're like, why is this happening to you and why is it not happening to me? Here's the reason why. Because I understand the power more today than I did a few years back. I understand more today the power and the grace of Jesus Christ and how it works in all of us. And no one is exempt. If someone does not like or is having a hard time, it's because they are still building their identity around a situation. Some of your situations you've walked in is controlling your identity right now. Some of your situations that you have gone through, whether it's pain that you inflicted on yourself or whether it's pain other people inflicted on you, some of it is you're still walking like it's a cloud under you, and the identity has not come full circle of who you are in Christ quite yet. That situation is controlling your identity instead of Jesus. And Liz and I, we had to walk through this. We had to get like really raw, and we had to go through all the situations. We had to go through all the stuff and all the junk. And when at the end of the day, yes, people are going to hurt us. Yes, we made stupid mistakes. Yes, blah, 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 blah. But where does our identity rest? Our identity does not rest in our success. Our identity does not rest in our failures. Our identity rests in Jesus. Somebody clap. That was good preaching. Come on now. I come from a church that, you know, we clap, we shout, we do all that. We're a loud bunch of people, so we like doing that kind of stuff. All right, the third, well, before I go on there, the story of Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. Great example. Someone called. Someone that was gifted, someone that was prophetic, someone that had the mojo, and everyone close to him hated him, and we all know the rest of the story. Some of you have had those situations. All through Joseph's journey, you know, it's amazing to me because there's other characters in the Bible that were very gifted, very called, but they fell into sin. If anybody had an excuse out of any character, it would be Joseph. He was sold. He was starting to get, favors started to come back on him. He's working as a second man in Potiphar's house. And then a woman came on him. And guess what? Here's a pastor who did not cheat. He actually went the other way. And even still, he got thrown into prison. He got thrown into prison. He was framed, and all through the times, he stayed faithful. Why? Because he knew where his identity was in. It was in God. Everywhere he went, whether he was in Potiphar's house, he was talking about God. When he was in the prison, he was talking about God. Well, when he was in Pharaoh's house as the second ruler of the country, he was talking about God. Everywhere he went, it didn't matter if he was successful or if he was going through a failure, if he was going through a dark season of life, he was talking about Jesus. He was talking about God everywhere he went. Number three, the pain, the third kind of pain, and this is the one that's the most hardest one. The third kind of pain is the pain I didn't expect. There's the pain that I did to myself. There's the pain that other people did to me. And then there's the pain I didn't expect. Some of you are going through situations, I've gone through situations of pain and disappointment that I did not expect. When I was 10 years old, my younger brother, Jalen, he was 3 years old, died and drowned in our backyard pool. I actually found him, his body floating on the top of the surface of the water. I was 10 years old. I actually had to get in the water, pick him up, and carry his dead body across our backyard as a 10-year-old. That was a situation, that was a pain our family did not expect. No one wakes up every day and expects to see a loved one pass away, especially a baby boy. Some people go to the hospital and they don't expect to get a report of cancer or arthritis. There are some things that happen in life that Liz and I, we sit down with people and they tell us our story. And one of the first questions when situations like this happen, one of the first questions they always ask is, why would God let this happen? How many of you have ever heard that question asked before? A lot of the question, another question people is like, well, why did God do this? It's another form of the same question. And to be quite honest, there are a lot of questions that I have that when I get to heaven, I'll be like, God, why did these things happen? And there's not in the text that we study out of the Bible, there's no answers that can point to situations that happen. Sometimes life just happens. But one thing I do know is that I know that the cross, and I know that God is big enough to take you through a situation. That's what I do know. I don't know why so the situation happens, but I do know that God is big enough to take you through a situation that you did not expect. That's what I do know. I know that because it's happened in my life. I know that because you read stories in the Bible, you see God's hand on people's lives as they're going through situations that they did not expect. You see that going and happening. So I don't know why my brother died. I don't know why some people go to the doctor and get a bad report. I don't know why, you know, hurricanes, you know, take over cities. I don't know why, you know, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I do know that the cross and Jesus and his power and his strength is bigger than any situation that we may go through. That's what I do know. That's a sure thing. I remember I was in Southern California and I was going through Del Taco. How many of you have been to Del Taco? I was going through Del Taco and there was this guy. I was going through the window giving my order or whatever, and he was always saying, and I was asking for directions, like, hey, can you tell me where the next place I was going to? And he says, yeah, I can tell you. So, well, what you want to do is you want to take a left, but take a right, but I'm not so sure. But then you want to take a left, then take a right, but I'm not so sure. Then you want to take another left, then another right, but I'm not so sure. And I was like, why do you always say I'm not so sure? He goes, because I'm not sure. I was like, okay. But coming back to this thing of the cross and Jesus, one thing I am sure of is that Jesus is more powerful than the situation that you just went through. God is sure of your situation, just like you may be unsure, he is sure. The guy at Del Taco was not sure, but God is sure of where I'm going to go onto the next stop. Someone clap, get excited, do something. Like, this is like good stuff here. I'm here today because my past did not define me. I'm here today because I didn't let the failures of yesterday define my today. I let the identity of Jesus define who I am. So, I don't know why unexpected situations happen, but I do know that God takes us through every situation. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7, he goes, I thank God whom I serve with pure conscience. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, who was his spiritual son. He's probably writing it from prison. He goes, as for my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. God is mindful of your tears. Every ounce of pain, every ounce of situation that you are going through, and every tear that you have shed, He is mindful of your tears. He is mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. I want to stop there just for a second, because Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying, I want to call back and try to get you to remember the genuine faith that is in you. Remember when you first became born again, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you had that genuine faith, that pure faith, that fresh faith, that passionate faith, that bold faith, that authentic faith. But now it's been overcome with pain. It's been overcome with disappointment. It's been overcome with just hits and blows and things that have happened in church or in ministry or in life or in family. And now someone just needs to write you a letter from maybe a prison or something, and just says, hey, remember that genuine faith you used to have? You need to get back to that. You need to let some of these situations and some of these things that are clouding your vision and clouding your dreamer, you need to let that to fall off of you right now. Paul is writing Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, who dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. It's in you also, Timothy. It's in you, and you need to get back to that. Well, how do you get back to that? Paul's about to tell you how. He says, therefore, I remind you. Some people just need to be reminded of stuff. Because you're just living life, and pff, you're getting hit, and pff, you're getting this. You didn't expect my spouse, left me. You didn't expect, to get a bad report in the doctor's office. You didn't expect to lose your job. You didn't expect to, the people in the church, coming after you. You didn't expect to get gossip about. You didn't expect all these things. But Paul's saying here, beyond all the craziness and all the stuff, he is saying, stir up the gift that God has put inside of you. We all have gifts. We all have talents. And sometimes when we go through these lefts, sometimes when we get hit, sometimes we go through all this stuff, our gift goes dormant. We shut down because we're taking on a different identity. We're letting the situation, we're letting the pain, we're letting all the crap define us instead of letting God define us. And when God defines us, He says, okay, let's take you back. Let's remember that genuine faith that you used to walk in. Let's remember that gift? Remember that talent I placed inside of you? Let's stir it back up. Well, how do you stir it? You start doing it. You start laying hands. You just start activating your hands and doing it. You put your hands to the plow and you start doing it. If you have a gift to write and you haven't written in a few years, you need to start writing again. If you have a gift to sing and you haven't been singing for anything, you need to talk to Pastor Dan and say, hey, I need to get on the worship team or something like that. I need to start activating this gift. So some of you just need to step out because you haven't stepped out in a long time. And I feel that right now that God is just wanting to say that there is a gift. There is a talent, and you have let a situation or situations define you. You've let a pain, you've let a disappointment define you, and now it's time to get back up and keep moving. It's time to do it. It's time to do it. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So one thing that when you let situations define you, you walk around in fear all the time. When you let situations and pain and disappointment, you may not realize it, but you're walking in fear all the time. And God is saying, I did not give you that. That situation you're walking in, I did not give you that. I'm not the author of pain. I'm not the author of suffering. I'm not the author of that. But I am a God that will take you through it. I did not give you fear. I've given you love. I've given you power. And I've given you a sound and confident mind. I remember at the beginning of this year, Liz and I went through a month-long fast in January. And one of my, who I consider a pastor, he pastors in Dallas, his name is Earl McClellan. He came down and preached a church. And I felt during our fast, the Lord gave us, like, 2014 was a year of courage for our family, for our home. And so one thing that Liz and I, we do every year, we kind of encourage other young couples to do it too. We're very visual people. We're very artsy, kind of fartsy kind of people. And so we like to put things on the walls and to, you know, just to remind us of where we're going. You know, the Bible says in Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain. So we just kind of do that, and Liz likes to put her, like, creativity on it. And so, and right before January hit, I felt that the Lord gave us this word that this was going to be a year of courage for us. That I felt like we were kind of sitting right here in this area of, okay, God, you know, we've gone through some stuff. What do we need to do? He goes, you need to have the courage to step out and start activating your gift. You need to step out and start activating and stirring up that gift. And then when my pastor came and preached, his whole message was on courage. And so it kind of confirmed, and it just sounded spiritual to say. So that's why I told the story. And so, but the point is that this year we've had this enormous amount of just favor that it's just God is just like pouring on our family right now, and we're just kind of like, what's going on? He's like, because you're stepping out, you're taking a step of courage, you're getting out there, and you're saying, okay, I'm not going to let the failures of yesterday define my today. It's time to stir up the gift. It's time to stir up the thing that God has for us. My last verse, and I'm gonna close here in just a second. Philippians 3, 12, 13. Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected. In other words, Paul's saying, I have issues too. I have gone through my stuff. Paul used to kill people as well. You know, as he's gone out, as he went out and planted churches, I wonder if that temptation ever, like, came back up in his life, you know. It's like, you know, I used to do this, but, you know, wonder if I can do it now. I know that's really bad to say, isn't it? It's really like, some of those thoughts come to my mind sometimes. Philippians 3, 12 through 13. Not that I have already attained or am I perfected, because I have issues. I go to counseling. I have problems. Some of us are married to a counselor. But I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Not these 40 things I dabble in, but this one thing I do. Which one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching toward those things which are ahead. For Paul to write this and say, this one thing I do, it probably means because he does it a lot. If he's saying, like, if there's this one thing I do, it's probably because I'm doing this a lot. Because there's a lot of things a lot of us can do on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. But this one thing I do, I have to continually remind myself that I have letting go of the things which are behind. And I'm pressing on to the things which are ahead of me. Some things have happened in your life, as well as in my life, that are very painful. There's the pain. Some pain is what you cause on yourself. Own that. Some pain is what other people have caused on you, have put on you, have created on you. Other pain is what pain situations you didn't expect. Whatever the pain or disappointment is, just like we started off with in Proverbs, unrelenting disappointment, but a sudden good break will turn your life around. A sudden good break is going to turn your life around because this one thing I do, I let go of the past and I press on towards the prize, of Jesus Christ. My identity is wrapped in Jesus, and that is my foundation. And because of that, I can lay a I can lay the past down and go on and press on to the mark of Jesus. This is not easy, David. You know, that may be easy for you to preach and go to Austin later today, but I got some stuff. Don't we all? We all have some, you know, some issues that we are dealing with. But we need to make sure that situation is painful. That's why the local church is so important. That's why getting plugged into a community is so important, because in that situation, in those things, that's why you need community. You are not supposed to be doing or going through any situation by yourself. Jesus did not design you that way. He did not make you that way. It was not created that way. That's why the local church is the hope of the world, because there's a lot of people out there that are going through a lot of crazy situations, and they need someone to say, hey, I can't do this alone. Great, you weren't made to anyway. That's why this church is important. This is why what Scent Church is doing is so important, to get everybody plugged into a community. So whatever type of situation you go through, whether it's pain you did on yourself, whether it's pain other people did to you, or whether it's pain that you didn't expect, you can hold on to someone's arm and say, hey, I'm not going to let this situation define me. I don't even know why God let this situation happen, but I do know that God is bigger to take me through it and not leave me here, because I have some community, I have some friends, I have some pastors, I have some people that's not going to let me stay here, but it's going to keep me going so I can stir up my gift, forget my past, embrace the future, and praise God for what He has done in my life, so I can go on and tell someone else how good God is and how the message of the gospel works in everyday life. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. So right now, as we just close up, we could probably have James, if you don't mind having the piano doing that. I just want to lead you guys into a prayer. Maybe there's someone here today that needs some prayer right now, because you're going through some stuff. You're going through some situations. And right now, I just want to just pray right now, and just kind of like just say, like, you know, God, whatever type of situation or pain maybe inflicted on yourself, pain that someone may have caused for you, or pain that you did not expect to happen. This is the time where community is important, and everyone needs someone to walk things through with. Father, right now, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the pastors here in this church. I thank you for every person that is here today. And Lord, I just pray right now that whatever kind of situation that people may be going through, someone may have lost a loved one, someone may have lost a marriage, someone may have lost a job, someone may have lost, you know, something that was precious to them. But whatever the situation is, we thank you that your identity is stronger than whatever kind of identity we wrapped ourselves up in. We thank you that your power and your grace is stronger than whatever situation that can happen on the earth. Lord, we thank you that your situation embraces the cross. We thank you for the cross. We thank you at the cross. You took our pain. You took our shame. You took our disappointment. But at the cross, at the same time you took our pain, we also got a new life. We also got a fresh start. We also got a second chance. We also got a renaming of our situation in our life. We found purpose again. We found vision again. The cloud that weighs all over us, that weighs over us with our shame and our guilt and our frustration and our hurt, is not there anymore. We can dream. We're like kids at Disney World that can dream again. Our hearts are not hurting. Our hearts are happy and joyful, because the cross was our break. The cross was the break that we have been waiting for. You took our pain at the cross. 3 days later, you got up and you walked out. Today, we get up out of the situation. We get up out of the pain. We get up out of the disappointment, and we walk out with you. Today begins a new day for a lot of people. That cloud that's been hanging over you, it's coming down. It's coming down. And God is saying it's now time to get up and walk. Walk in the favor. Walk in the confidence. Walk in the gift that I have called you to walk in. Today's a new day. Situations don't define us. Crisis does not define us. Disappointment does not define us. Jesus defines us. Lord, we thank you for the cross. People ask, what's the correlation between pain and purpose? It's the cross. At the cross, he took our pain, but at the cross, we found a new purpose. We found a fresh start. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.